This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
What a huge meeting today of council. So much on the agenda, including the budget. Now, before the budget was formally presented, Mayor Michael Kerr addressed all present, including Fab FM. We were part of the media contingent. It was Mayor Kerr's first budget since being elected, and he made it very clear that he wants to steer the Shire in a new direction. He said that for the past 6 years, the council followed a plan of financial sustainability by driving towards a budget surplus, a quote, dubious goal that unfortunately fell well short. Our mayor feels the Shire is as vulnerable as it is beautiful. We have natural disasters, we have cyclones and the like, and we have a global pandemic at the moment, and our entire region buckles when our tourism sector falters. And so I'm getting the feeling that Mayor Kerr wants to lead a council now that is diverting, not away from tourism, certainly not, that's super, super important, it's vital, but also getting more cogs to the machine, if you like, so that we have other strings to the bow, so we're not completely 100% dependent on tourism. I spoke with Mayor Kerr straight after the meeting. Michael, first up, what would you say the budget that you brought forward today is all about? How would you sum it up?
The budget that's come forward for me is all about, you know, jobs. It's not about making a surplus. It's not about, you know, trying to finesse council's expenses at this stage. It's all about creating jobs, building infrastructure and making sure we get everything in place that we've been wanting for a long time. People have been saying they want roads fixed, they want parks and gardens sorted, and they're the things that we've absolutely been concentrating on.
Diversing industries, what do you mean by that?
Well, council has to look at how we can get other incomes, and we seriously have to get other incomes to sort out what the issue is with, you know, we only have a small rate base, so therefore we have to have other incomes. You know, and there's different things we can look at, whether it's the retirement sector, whether it's looking at small hobby farms and food industry, as well as, you know, as part of our tourism. And of course, you know, progressing our tourism as well. We've got to make sure our tourism's at its best.
We've got to look at opportunities to raise money.
Absolutely, and that's what it's all about. We absolutely have to increase our revenues. You know, there's no doubt about that. We can't keep putting interest rates up higher and higher each year to, you know, compensate the fact that things are more expensive. We need to spend this money on making sure, again, our roads and parks and gardens and all those infrastructure things are getting done.
You have a works program. This is probably the largest we've ever seen in the Shire.
It is $21.7 million that we've put into our capital works. It is the biggest budgeted capital works program, and we're hoping it's going to be a lot bigger once we start getting some more grant funding through the federal and the state governments.
Workers on the ground, you're going to have a lot out there.
We do, and we want to. We're giving some extra money to the grounds people so that we make sure we get those extra bits of work done that's been missing before. And we're also encouraging these small businesses to sign up to the online platform that we have, the vendor platform, so that when we have jobs come out, they're in line to get them. We want local businesses doing local work.
Now let's look at the rates. It's quite a modest one. Some of the other councillors wanted a zero, a freeze on it. What do you say to that?
We have to be sensible. You know, we want this work done, and I don't think people mind having a small increase of CPI if they can see they're getting something for their money. And that's really important on the ground level, seeing again those parks and gardens and roads all getting fixed. You know, it accounts for the fact of why they're getting rate increases, and I think that's really important. We have to build that confidence back up with the ratepayers that we're there to do the work that they want done.
And of course, it'll only be a CPI raise. Now, the lady who was the author of that budget, Tara Killeen, says that if we continue this way with a modest one, a CPI, we'd be back in the black in about 8 years' time.
Well, the 10-year forecast, that's what we're going for. Yeah, you know, I've told them that we have to be back in the black within 10 years, and we certainly will get there before then. By increasing those incomes with different methods rather than just rates, I certainly hope we get there long before 8 years.
If you had have frozen it, we'd probably have a much higher deficit, somewhere in the order of 4.35 million.
Absolutely we would, because it's an ongoing thing. 2.2 this year adds on to 2.2 next year, or whatever the increases may be. And if we don't have anything this year, then it lowers that carry-on effect. So it's really important we have something, and CPI is a good amount to have.
Lisa Scommerson, one of the councillors, suggested that we need to look at other industries apart from tourism, because we rely so much on tourism. So when that is choked, as it is at the moment with COVID, we're in big strife.
Absolutely we are. And that's something that's happened when we had the pilot strike and the GFC. It always hits tourism first. And it's something that COVID-19 has done drastic to our economy, especially within tourism. So it's really important as a council we start looking at various different options we have to ensure that we have a workforce that's got a 365-day-a-year job. So, you know, it's something that I think is really popular is the fact that we've got an ageing demographic here. The majority of the people who live here are between 50 and 75. So obviously it's a great place for the older generations to live. So why don't we work on that? Let's get more of the older generations in who have now working on their superannuation, have got that double income that they can spend, and they want services and they need services. And those services is what creates the jobs for us. So more medical, more health, more beauty, all those things that an older person wants to spend their money on, can spend their money on, will create the jobs with the younger ones that we need in this shire.
We now come to the block of land in the Daintree. Now, it was a block of land purchased for $725,000, excluding GST. You voted in favour of that at the time. Now you're looking to at least get the CEO to maybe look at that land being sold to the right people.
Absolutely. And, you know, from the motion I've put forward, it still confirms what I said before. If the block of land can be used, if it's required for the ferry, because we need the priority lane on the north side, we need toll booths on the north side, all those things. If we can assist by moving the road boundary across to facilitate that, that could be an answer to a situation we have there if we do go ahead with the ferry system. You know, I've put it forward with this motion so that it rescinds the last motion. So we're back to the start. We've got a block of land. Let's go out to the community now and see, what do you want to do with it? It's your money we're spending. And that's really important to me. We need to know what your thoughts are on carbon mitigation. You know, do you want us to use your rate money to carbon mitigate council, or would you prefer us to spend that money on other things? You know, as a council, we have to, of course, look after our environment. We have to encourage the community to look after environment, but it's not our place to be spending their money on things that they haven't spoken about and they haven't told us they want us to spend it.
And the use of it has always been a bit unclear.
Well, that's it. You know, as I said in the meeting, it was putting the horse before the cart. You know, we need to consult with the people to find out what they want with us to do. What do they want us to do with it? And then we can start putting the plans in motion to actually do that. Whereas this was like, oh, we could do this, we could do that, we might do this, we might do that. You know, and oh, we'll have public consultation. You know, it's like, well, you've already decided that's what the usage of the block's going to be, but we'll consult on. You know, whereas this way, we're going to consult with the people to find out what they want, and then we will put the plan into action. And if it's the case they don't want us to do anything, the obvious answer is to go to one of the groups that want to do this environmental work, and they're able to do it, and they can do it, and it's not going to cost the ratepayers any money. So it's a win-win situation for the environment and the ratepayers.
Let's go to Port Shorts now. An increase of funding from $15,000 to $20,000. And an interesting little point with this, Stephen Curry, who of course is the man behind it, a movie star, TV star, you're looking at spending possibly $9,000 for a live TV broadcast with him as a host. Now that would open it up to a lot of exposure.
Absolutely would. It'd be a chance to get Port Douglas on the map for the whole country. You know, it's a national network that wishes to televise it, so it'll be put around the whole country, scenes of Port Douglas, as well as the great movie and the great talent we get at Port Shorts. So in future years, you know, people will be saying, oh, Port Shorts is on up there, let's go up to Douglas and have a holiday. So it's for $9,000 investment, I think that's a great investment for the advertising we'll get for people to come up to the shire.
Blue Pearls given back to Jabalina. Your thoughts on it?
It's been a long, long drawn out thing. You know, it is sacred land for them, and it's absolutely, you know, it's the right thing to do is to give this land back under their control, so that they can treat it appropriately with their cultural wants.
$50,000 to the Douglas Chamber of Commerce. Is that a done deal?
Absolutely, and it's good money well spent, I believe. You know, the Chamber of Commerce for years has been there. They've been trying to do things. They've never been able to successfully do it because they all have full-time jobs. They're all working themselves, and they're always struggling to try and do everything as well as, you know, their own lives, because it's usually busy when they need to be busy, and they just can't do it. You know, so by giving them some money to be able to do some things properly, it'll allow them the opportunity to actually put some training courses in place, to have another seminar like they did last year and get all the businesses together to give them information, to, you know, to let them treat the tourists when they get here in the service standards that we expect for Port Douglas. You know, and I think that's really important. It's TPDD's job to get them here, Chamber's job to make sure when they get here we've got the right service for them.
Would you like to see an increase in membership?
I would absolutely want to see an increase in membership, and I do hope that will happen as the businesses start to see confidence that Chamber is now working with Council, with TPDD, with our development officer. I hope the businesses will see confidence and they'll want to be part of it so they can get the benefit of the information that the Chamber will give them.
Tourism Port Douglas Daintree, you're cutting their funding in half. First of all, why, and how do you see a restructured Tourism Port Douglas Daintree?
I want people to understand we're not cutting tourism budget. Okay, we're absolutely, you know, still spending that money, but just in different areas and in different ways. You know, we're branching out to make sure we cover other aspects. The international borders are closed. You know, so it's really important that Tourism Port Douglas Daintree, with the assistance of TTNQ, Tourism Queensland, our Economical Development Officer, they all work together. You know, the funding is being given to these larger groups to do a lot of advertising in this region as well. And getting TPD to focus on the finer points of what our area is to get that, to make sure we've got that market for these people to come here for a domestic market. You know, so I believe this year, they don't quite need all the funding that they were getting because there's no international trips. There's no, you know, going to promote us in an international destination. We're concentrating domestically and locally. And, you know, with, again, Council on board, TTNQ on board, the Tourism Queensland on board, the local Tourism Economical Development Officer, we'll be able to get that message across just as well. With the smaller amount of funding that we're giving in this year. And it's only a 12-month thing. You know, we're re-looking at it again next year.
Will it be based where it's normally based in McRossan Street, or will it be based at Council?
Well, that's up to them. We've given them the option that we will give them Council space as well, because we do appreciate, you know, we have cut their budget, you know, and that, you know, things like, you know, office space costs money, and if we can assist them by giving them the office space so they can use that extra money to go towards more advertising, we're more than happy to do so.
John Morris has offered the Ballyhooly train to Council. You haven't made a decision with that, but you're having a look at it to retain something that's quite historical.
It is. It's a historical asset for this whole region. That train line used to carry the sugar more around the Shire to Port Douglas to go to the wharfs where it hopped on a boat and was taken wherever it needed to go. And, you know, then they started doing trucks, and of course the train was no longer used for sugar. So it actually killed the population of Port Douglas. It got down to about 60 people when they stopped shipping the sugar from the wharf. So it is a very big historical part, and it's also a magnificent tourism thing as well. So, you know, to not see the Ballyhooly going down on a Sunday full of kids would be very disappointing. And, you know, I absolutely think it's worth the effort to have a look at it and see if it's worthwhile Council taking it on. It is exactly that. It's a look at this stage. Once the Council staff have looked at it and they've got a full proposal together, it will come back to Council and we will know whether it's a winner or not. And at this stage, you know, let's just look at it and find out.
Okay, remuneration for councillors. You voted unanimously not to have a pay rise. Probably a good move.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a 2% increase which the state government have allocated towards all councillors. And at this stage, the way things are, I don't think it would be appropriate for us to take a pay rise. So we've opted to do so. We've got the ability to be able to do that. And I think it's appropriate for us to do so.
The operational plan, can you break it down for us? How do you see an operational plan, of course, is your roadmap for council?
It is. It's the councillor's time to put perspectives across to the staff to give a direction of how we want council to run and to do different projects. And I think this is a great sign of things to come. It shows, you know, the direction that this council wants to go, which is to increase our economy, to look after infrastructure and to find other revenue streams and, you know, look after the ratepayers are here that pay for us to be here in the first place.
And jobs, jobs, jobs.
Jobs, jobs, jobs. That's what it's all about, absolutely.
Now, what about part of that, the Grand Street Dining Precinct? Now, this is so interesting. This is not making it into a mall, but a green area, maybe lawn, trees, stuff like that in Grand Street.
Absolutely. It's something that's been approached to me, quite a few people, a lot of the traders there, that they want somewhere where they can sit and have their lunch that's in the heart of town. And, you know, Grant Street's got all those takeaway restaurants there, and it's got other restaurant food outlets around. It'd make a perfect spot just for a nice park area. It'd be the hub, the green hub of town, where you'd be able to sit and have a little picnic lunch, you know, where there's lots of restaurants around you, lots of a la carte, and, you know, a place where we can have some street art, you know, possibly even a busker's corner, you know, really liven that area up. And, you know, that's going to be the strip way down to the marina once it eventually happens as well. So it'll be a great asset to have there, so people to have their lunch and go for a walk down the marina because they're about to see it from down the road.
A couple of the councillors said, what about parking though? That's going to eliminate parking in that street, in Grant Street, and you know, parking's at a premium.
It certainly is, and it's also in the operational plan that we intend on looking at parking alternatives. You know, there are different ideas that we have where we can have, you know, higher amounts of cars parked in areas, and that'll give us the opportunity to reduce some of those car spaces and activate them. And I'd like to see the same thing on Macrossan Street eventually as well, where we can take out two or three car parks in front of a restaurant, bring the footpath out so we can have further a la carte dining out there to really activate that street at night time and have it hustling and bustling, full of tourists eating and, you know, laughing and drinking and having a great time in Macrossan Street and enjoying Douglas.
Mm. And just finally, part of that operational plan, you did mention the microgrid, the hydrogen microgrid. Now, there's still some opposition to that with the other councillors. How do you see the future going ahead as far as the microgrid is concerned?
I absolutely want to see it go ahead. Yeah, these people deserve to have power. And I've said it to a few people and I thoroughly agree with it. The argument they've used with me is that they do not want to see the Daintree destroyed. They do not want to see power lines through the Daintree. They are absolutely environmentalists themselves, and that's why they live there. But we've had dial-up, then we got ADSL, then we got NBN, and as technology advances, it allows us to do different things. And what they're saying is that technology has advanced as well. There's a possibility of giving them mains power that's environmentally friendly. Why can't we look at it? You know, and I absolutely agree with them. And if the federal government are willing to pump across $1 million to find out whether that's feasible, whether it's doable, who are we to say no to it? So we absolutely need to support them. And I think it's really important that this council stands up and says that, yes, these people deserve the same rights as everyone else in this shire, and we should be able to give them power if it's available to them in an environmentally friendly way that's not going to damage that beautiful rainforest that we've got there.
Mm. Big meeting today. Huge one.
Huge meeting today. I can feel my voice is starting to go a bit chalky already because it's been a long day. I think it was a good meeting, and, you know, I hope the results over the next 12 months will show the hard work that's gone into this budget and this operational plan.
And we shouldn't finish without reminding people, buy Douglas.
Build Douglas. And don't forget, #DoItInDouglas.
Thank you, Michael Kerr.
Thank you.